Introducing Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclico's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclico Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. He's speaking to us from Vancouver. This is our special Christmas edition. Can't you hear the bells ringing in the distance?
Jingle bells, yes. But we can't put in a tune from back in the 1940s because there's copyright problems or something like that.
Oh, so. I think they're expired, but frankly, mixing music with this, we've tried it. It doesn't work.
Well, I know I've got a whole list of jingle bells, maybe about seven of them in my library, and an extended one by the Glenn Miller Band is really, really quite good. It's fun, so...
And the weather in Vancouver, if you're going to sing, yes, the weather outside is frightful, freezing. Yeah. So we've had over a foot of snow, which people outside of Vancouver should know. This is a city of hills, mountains, and bridges. Yeah. None of them handle snow well. We don't have a lot of snow clearing equipment because we normally have just wet weather. And now it's turned to freezing rain, and we get to be serenaded by the sound of spinning tires in the street.
There we go.
And the weather's so bad, WestJet has stopped flying in Vancouver and Toronto because Eastern Canada is about to be pasted by what they're calling a weather bomb.
Oh, yeah. Now, also in the, across most of the continent is a huge cold blast of Arctic air coming down. They used to call it the Arctic vortex or something like that. So anyways, it's unusually cold, and then also I got a site that keeps track of the temperatures in the southern hemisphere, like Australia or New Zealand or South Africa, and they are getting unusually cold summer temperatures.
Well.
So it's both north and south, and then in between, Japan, areas of Japan get huge snow, but this time they're getting even more snow. So, anyways, it is not in keeping with the hysteria about global warming. The Earth is going to fry.
Well, anyways. In the time of the dinosaurs, Alberta was the subtropics.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, and wind chill warnings all the way down to the Gulf of Mexico.
Yep.
Even in Alabama, that is unreal. Yep. So, we'll start off our show with some listener questions. Our first question comes from Bill. Merry Christmas, Jim and Bob. Appreciate the show. Bob, I'm wondering how you view the last year and how it played out versus what you expected. Despite all the negative predictions, to me, the markets haven't been all that bad. There's been no really crash, just a moderate grind lower and then a rebound. The S&P is much higher than in 2020 and close to 4,000. Is this as bad as it gets? It wasn't really that bad after all. What's your opinion?
It's interesting to see somebody was looking just at the S&P or the Dow, but there was the bubble was incredible with the dot-com and crypto and fangs and all that sort of stuff, and set records on the way up and records on the crash down. You've had the biggest crash in the bond market in since the 1930s. It's been fascinating. We had a headline the other week about hardly anybody got it right over the last year. But no, we'll back it up. In December, January, a year ago, we had noted the that often you can have a market phenomenon complete in January. And we cited gold and silver in 1980, and then the one that was interesting, of course, was the S&P, the New York Stock Exchange, setting its high in January of 1973. And then we had the upside excesses, where my colleague noted that and said for the S&P, eventually the decline could be as much as 50%. So we had the beautiful highs in January. I remember January 4th or 5th is when the advanced decline line broke down, took out previous low, and that was important. So then the first half of the year was the worst for the balanced portfolio between 60% equities and 40% bonds ever. So it was an interesting year, and individual issues, as I say, the big names, FANGs and all that sort of stuff got trashed. So the features of a post-bubble contraction is a lengthy bear market. So we have one figure for a 50% decline and in the S&P, and then the other is that typically a post-bubble bear market in the last 3 years. So we're only just 1 year into it, and recently everything kind of got oversold in October, and we've been kind of a relief rally since. But bear markets take a while, and the idea is to sell when you can rather than when you have to. And we don't do an outlook for what the price of the S&P is going to be at on December 31st, a year hence, or what the Fed funds rate will be on December 31st, a year from now, and that sort of stuff. We just plot out where we think the markets are going to go from. The overall is a 3-year bear market, and within that there will be some oversolds, like in October, and some overboughts, which could appear soon. So, yep, it's a bear market, and It will run for a couple of years yet, my guess.
Bill goes on to ask, what do you expect for 2023 in the markets? Is this consistent with your call for the end of a financial bubble? Thank you.
Yeah, we've kind of covered both parts of it. Yep.
Our next question comes from Michael.
Yeah.
Hello, Jim and Bob, and happy holidays, and thanks so much for the insightful podcast this year, as in past years. My question's for Bob. When will it be time to go long with the U.S. dollar? I've been surprised over the dollar's recent rapid decline, given the falling equity markets.
Yeah, okay, we'll stop there.
Yeah.
When the DX rallied up to 114.75, it got very overbought. And we called for a correction. Now, my guess was it would go down to 108, and Ross's was at around 105. So it's been down to 104. It could be getting a little oversold in here now, but we're watching for the opportunity to make the call for the rally. And that'll be accompanied by further erosion of commodity prices and another setback in the stock market. So we're watching for that. I would say that the DX at this 104 level, it did dip into the 103, is getting a little oversold. So we're looking for a bounce in that one. Now let's go on.
Another question from Michael. Where is the Christmas rally? If there is no rally this year, then where will Santa find all the coal to put in the stockings of all those leveraged equity accounts given the ban on fossil fuels? Or is Santa's elves at the Federal Reserve just a bit behind in depositing candy canes into the stockings of leveraged accounts so as to provide the markets with one last sugar high this year? Bob, where is Santa?
Seasonal poetry. We love it. So, they always call for the Santa Claus rally, and I know that Ross's work ages ago identified that many times at the turn of the year you can have a low for the small cap stocks like the Russell 2000, probably in the middle of December, and then a rally for the low caps relative to the S&P. Sometimes it works out with a rally for the S&P as well as the Russell, but hey, this year we've had our rolling top bear markets, a whole list of them, and it's in a pattern where the probability of a seasonal rally for Christmas, didn't think it would work out. There's been some bounces, but what happened was everything got trashed into October, which is, can be a seasonal low, and then there's been a fairly good recovery in the senior indexes. So, but generally, as we've noted with the previous question, we're in a multi-year bear market.
Andrew has a couple of questions for you. In the past, Bob had mentioned the gold-silver ratio as a metallic credit spread that in boom times would decline and in the post-bubble contraction rise. Given that silver has outperformed gold recently while oil and gas are retreating, how does Bob interpret this occurrence?
Yeah, the gold-silver ratio is a good guide. And yeah, we do call it the metallic credit spread. And it, in any kind of a bull market, will narrow as the number goes down, and then when it goes up, it can anticipate the next hit to the markets. And but there are times when it kind of wanders around on its own. But it worked for us earlier in the year, and we watch it all the time. It has come down with the relief in the financial market since the oppression of October. Hey, I like that, oppression of October. So we watch it, and when you can get into a severe financial hit, which there could be another one, and then what you can get is you can have a day where there may be very little change in gold's price, but a huge drop in silver, and just like that. Now, this gets all the better when the silver bugs come out and say, oh, there's no explanation for silver's weakness, because they have not done the research to understand that the gold-silver ratio is a very sophisticated, as we call it, the metallic credit spread. Yep. So it's generally doing what it should be doing.
Second question from Andrew. What are Bob's thoughts on foreign bonds? Can they do well during a post-bubble contraction, or do they have to be in the senior currency or issued by the country holding the global reserve currency to do well?
Yeah, you don't want to mess around with any bonds anywhere other than as a trader. We had an oversold on the bond future. Called it a trader's buy, and we got the 10 points out of it and said, let's get out of here. And that's it. But in a post-bubble contraction, the credit markets get really interesting because, one, and this is yet to start, or could be just starting, the T-bill rate heads down, and then eventually the Fed will follow with a decline in Fed rates. But at the same time, there's no bid for junk and lower grade stuff, and then you got the risk in corporate bonds, and bonds that are barely investment grade, they can get turned to junk. So, if in Canada, going into a bear market for stocks and bonds, you can go to cash or deposits or CDs, and the rate will eventually get to zero. So, but hey, your money's safe. But what you can do is you have to get in touch with a bond dealer, but you can look for a good grade corporate U.S. bond, maybe 4-year maturity. So you're not going to get whacked too much in price on fluctuations, but in 4 years you get the bond redeemed at par. So if you're buying it at a discount, so you get one a higher yield. Two, A, the safety is reasonably good. And three, and for Canadian investors, quite likely the Canadian dollar will soon head down relative to the U.S. again. So then you get a bit of a currency play out of it. It's a tough one to get positioned on because you have to find the bond dealer and stuff like that. But anyways, it's fun to talk about.
We'll take a look at some Christmas time headlines right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Bob Hoy. Bob, we're taking a look at some of the headlines that caught your eye just before Christmas. Free-falling China-Taiwan exports scream global recession.
Yeah. Yep, that says it straightforward. Taiwan exports into China are gone. Now, the one before that, I like the play on words. The great fall of China. Weakened President Xi faces being toppled. That's interesting. Yeah.
Well, do you think he has? I mean, we had the COVID protests there, so they've eased up the COVID things. And now COVID's marching through China, where they've had a very ineffective vaccination program.
Yeah. Well, I think on the bigger picture, the prosperity in the southern provinces of China is amazing. And, of course, that came from Hong Kong and Taiwan. But Peking, Beijing, whatever you want to call it, is still communist, and although probably the higher-ups are probably on the graft something huge with all the money. But anyways, as the China post-bubble contraction continues, the guys, the communists living the good life in Beijing are going to want to continue that and want to tax, and the southern provinces will be hit with a recession. So I can see a protest. It's already started. It may be focused on COVID, but that's just the focus now. I think you're going to find an anti-big government movement out of the southern provinces that will overwhelm the communists in Beijing. Looking forward to it.
Central banks are now stocking up on gold. You'll recall Canada and the UK got rid of all their gold.
Yeah, I think at the time Canada wanted to get into a G7 or a G20 or something like that. And they put the leverage on Canada, said, yeah, we'll let you in, but you got to sell all your gold. And then also on England, when they sold the last bit of their gold, that was with the collapse of long-term capital management, the LTCM thing, where part of that was somebody was massively short gold. So they had the, and then also there were central banks lending money to the guys who were running LTCM. And indeed, the Bank of Italy was foolish enough to take an equity position in it. So it got all the central banks, and so they went crazy, and part of the deal was they had to get drive the price of gold down, so England was selling theirs, so that whoever was short the gold could cover without too much unpleasantness.
How was this year business-wise, do you think?
Oh, we've had some very good calls over the last year, and the other day I wrote a little piece on the habit of people in our business to come up with a level for the S&P at year end, so a year from now, or a level for the Fed funds, or a level for the long bond rate. And decades ago, I got my start in the business by taking the metals research to some of the very big mining companies in Vancouver, and I got to understand how they work. And of course the accounting side, it only wants to know the average price of copper or gold at the year end, by the end of the year. That's all they want to know. And then you've got the treasury side and marketing side where they there are interested in price swings. But they would go from supply-demand analysis, which is very slow and inaccurate, and you'll find that you get major price change trends that with the analysis of supply-demand are way behind. So it really doesn't work. So that's where I got my start, was showing credit markets and currency cycles and base metals and gold and all that sort of stuff. So within the corporate world, you have the, in the accounting side, it's year end that matters. And then also, and it seems to spread through the major brokerage firms where they got this crazy idea that, you want to know, want to make an estimate on what the S&P is going to be at on December 31st a year hence. So, and that's a futile exercise because you could get to December a year from now and the market could be going straight up. Hey, it could be going straight down or it could be going straight sideways. So this is where I had a bit of fun with the outlook for 2023. And the conclusion was that we'll just watch for, we're within a multi-year bear market, and we'll watch for the swings from overbought to oversold, and that is our service to our clients. And as I said a little while ago, it's best to sell when you can rather than when you have to. So even on rallies recently, one would be wise to take some money off the table and continue to build liquidity, because as this bear market extends, liquidity will become very important.
Bob, thank you so much for chatting with us, and Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays.
Yeah, to all of you and your family and our listeners out there, indeed, Merry Christmas.
My guest has been market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. He was speaking to us from snowbound and icy Vancouver. If you have any questions for Bob or any of our other guests, you can send them to info@howstreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on Twitter at House Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays, everyone.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.